If you're ready to say yes to your wealthiest and most abundant life, overflowing bank accounts, and a deep sense of inner fulfillment, well, then you are definitely in the right place. Welcome to the Girl Unfiltered podcast. I'm your host, Helena Grace Donald, and I'm a money mindset expert, success, and business coach. But really, all you need to know is that I am obsessed with helping women feel safe and in total flow around money. So let's do this. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to the Girl Unfiltered podcast. I am very excited for today's podcast interviewee, Hillary Hartling. Oh, Hillary is incredible at what she does. She is like the branding queen. And Hillary actually spent 15 years marketing some of the biggest movies that we all know and love at Disney, Pixar, Marvel, Touchstone, and DreamWorks. And she helped launch multi-million dollar franchises. She managed global brands, and she sure as heck has a deep knowledge and innate skill in growing and leveraging strategic brands. But Hillary actually left the corporate world and went on to create her own brand strategy business. And she now helps others create unforgettable brands. Hello, yes to being unforgettable. And she helps them truly know how to inspire and speak to their audience. So she's on a mission to help visionary entrepreneurs make an impact by translating their brand vision into aligned strategies and clear messaging that resonates. I think that kind of sums it up and says it all. So let's go straight into the interview. So welcome, Hillary.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much. It's so fun to be on the Girl Unfiltered podcast. I'm feeling very like bold and brave and like I don't have to have any kind of filter, Helena.
Yes. Oh my gosh. That is the aim. So thank you. Yes, it's exactly what we want. So you were an incredible exec at Disney, and I think you worked on something like 250 movies during your time there, working on their branding. But I'm guessing that somebody doesn't wake up overnight and step into a job like that. So could you just for a moment take us all the way back to the beginning of where it began for you? Because I don't think I even know this story, and I would love the listeners to hear it.
Yeah, I haven't told this story in a while. Usually it's the story from jumping from Disney into my business, but going way far back, this is actually how I actually began going after something I wanted, setting goals, figuring it out, and actually achieving the thing that I set out to do. So it's having that vision and fulfilling it, which is all about what we do in branding too. But if you go all the way back to after I graduated from college at University of Hawaii, I knew that even though I grew up in Hawaii, I knew that what I was meant to do was bigger than Hawaii. They didn't have the kinds of jobs that I wanted. I'd always loved big brands and entertainment. And although I did not think coming out of college, it did not even occur to me to go into the movie business because I actually thought, I'm going to use air quotes, I had to get a real job. So I ended up in Seattle and I got a job at an advertising agency and I was an assistant media planner for clients like Boeing Commercial Airplane Group and some technology international brand. So like I was placing print ads in Aviation Week and Space Technology magazine. So I didn't care at all about airplanes. I didn't care about these magazines. I didn't care about the audience. So you could tell how much excitement I had for this particular job, right? What I learned about myself very quickly, I was like, oh, I have to be inspired first. To do my best work, I need to be inspired. And so after like spending a year of my life doing that and being without sunshine, by the way.
Yeah, Seattle is not known for its sunshine.
No, from Hawaii to Seattle was quite the trip. So I realized, nope, this is not for me in many, many ways. And so I just sat down one day and I said, what do I love? Because I was in marketing and advertising. I was like, you can market or advertise anything. What do you love? And so I made a list of everything, even if it was stupid, it went on the list. Like, how are you going to market butterflies, Hillary? Come on. But the top of the list was movies. I've always loved movies. Everyone knew me for the movies that I loved. Like it was my thing. And I'd never considered, I was like, well, obviously there must be a business around movies. Like, duh. I literally knew nothing about the studio system, which film companies were part of which big studio. I knew nothing. But I, right then and there, I decided, okay, that's what it is. I'm going to go end up moving to LA to work in the movie business. I'm going to market movies. And I took a detour in order to get there with my eye on that prize. I went into a program, a graduate program. It was a MA. So it was a Master of Arts in Global Marketing, Communication, and Advertising at Emerson College in Boston, because it was a 12-month accelerated program and they had great ties back to Hollywood and the film industry, which is why I wanted it. So the end of my graduate program, we had to do an internship and I got an internship at DreamWorks in LA. But the thing is, and I think this is so important because this is literally how you make things come true, is that from then on, I had decided that my dream was to work at a major movie studio, marketing movies. I told people about it. Everyone knew that was my dream. I took action to do that. And I visualized it every day. So in my room that I rented in Boston, my entire wall was wallpapered with movie posters.
You have never told me this. This is amazing.
No, this is me manifesting and creating my dream job. And literally the only book I ever read about the movie industry was, at the time, it was a book had just come out called Work in Progress by Michael Eisner. So it was Michael Eisner, the CEO of Disney. Now, I did not have a dream to specifically work at Disney, but that was the book I chose. It was about a major motion picture company, and he talked all about it. So I'm like, I'm going to read that. Funny enough, my high school yearbook quote as a senior was also a Walt Disney quote. If you can dream it, you can do it.
Wow.
So I had all this Disney stuff happening already. I worked at DreamWorks for a summer. Everyone at DreamWorks are ex-Disney employees. So everyone knew the people at Disney, even though they didn't want to work there anymore. So through people at DreamWorks, I met people at Disney and 2 months later got my job entry level, starting from scratch, and stayed there for 15 years. And the cool thing about my Disney job is that it started as one thing, but I really shaped it. Nobody told me really what to do at Disney. I just created my dream job while I was there. It's something that not a lot of people have done. And it's something that I try to aspire to every day in my own business now, right? It's like I had a dream job and I created it over all these years. And so then, at a certain point, I think because I got my dream, and then it was about growing in the position. So getting higher and higher until I was a VP and I was leading my team and I was a senior member of the marketing team. Then I wasn't growing anymore. There wasn't a higher position I could get to in the job I had. There wasn't another job at the company I wanted because I had created my dream job myself. I forgot to dream the next dream. And that's, I think, where people get stuck, is when you forget to dream the next dream. And I finally realized it wasn't to dive more into international marketing for movies, and it wasn't to dive more into social media for movies. It was a dream of becoming my own boss.
Wow. And did you just wake up one day and know that within the depths of your soul? Or was that something that you were marinating on for a while before you actually took the leap?
I was very comfortable at Disney. And I think when you're comfortable, it's hard to make any leaps. And so because I was asking for growth from the universe, and I was talking about growth in my position, growth in my whatever at Disney, that wasn't what was in the cards. What growth showed up for me as was personal growth, which is, of course, when you're sitting there asking for growth every day, you better be ready for the personal growth. And it was the first time I really dived into personal development in a huge way. I think I did it naturally a lot of my life, but it was the first time I actually started to explore all these things. And that's what helped me think outside the box a little bit more, because when you're in an all-consuming, a lot of people in corporate can really relate to this, but entrepreneurs too, you're in this all-consuming world where nothing outside that world even like can get in that bubble. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where you're on that hamster wheel, and when someone tells you to think big when you're in that situation, you're thinking within your current circumstance instead of outside the box. And so it took having some very challenging situations that mostly came up with other people, which often does. That's the challenging part of work, is dealing with a lot of new people coming into Disney, because we had a big upset where they fired the entire top layer, including our chairman, a few years before I left. So that was really, really, really hard. It was like I had a new job without having a new job, if that makes sense. And just part of that, I got tired of marketing myself within the same organization. And so I stopped doing it. And what happened was I made what I do look easy which is just the end, right? When people think what you do is easy, then they think you're dispensable.
Wow.
Right? They're like, oh, well, this will just happen if she's not here. Like what I did, I did it so well that I made it look easy. And that's not to brag. It's just that like literally I had partners from around the company calling me when I was leaving saying, you know, we're not going to do as much for the movies because we did it for you. And I was like, wow, thank you for telling me that. And I know you will continue and it's going to be great. And you should, because it's win-win. Like, you know, I did all the good stuff, but I think I was ready to go at that point because actually I'll tell the story of me leaving because this is so interesting. The last couple years I was at Disney were really tough. They're really hard. I knew I needed to do something different and I didn't. I even had HGTV come after me to be their head of marketing, but I would have had to move to Knoxville, Tennessee. So I said, no. Even though I would have been working with Chip and JoJo, so like, slap me silly.
Yeah, Hillary and I are like, love the show Fixer Upper, Chip and Joanna Gaines, or our guilty pleasure.
Of course. And the new Magnolia Network. I mean, talk about a brand that I love. Like, they do their brand so well. So like, we could dive into a whole episode about Magnolia if you ever wanted to.
Right.
But I had decided it was January 1st, 2015, and I woke up on New Year's Day and I said, that's it. I'm not going to go back into work without having a plan. I'm going to leave without knowing what it is I'm going to do next. It's time. I need to do something to change my situation. And so I started Googling things on New Year's Day. I typed in something about a mid-career transition. I don't even know what I typed in, but what popped up was this questionnaire. And the very first question was, what would you do if you were 10 times bolder?
Ooh.
And I immediately I knew my answer. And it was, okay, I would leave my job at Disney. I would not have another job. I would take an entire year off. I would get back to myself. I would do things that inspired me. I would travel. I would go see family and friends. I would renovate my front and backyard. I would learn feng shui. I would go to workshops. I would start writing. It was very clear. I wrote this whole list down. And 2 weeks later, on January 15th, I went into the office at 9 a.m. for a meeting with my boss, where HR was there. And I got laid off in an organizational restructure and they handed me my package because I'd been there for 15 years. It was quite good. And it paid me for an entire year.
You're kidding me. Talk about alignment.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about being so in tune. And just for anyone listening, just the power of what we ask for. It's insane. That was 2 weeks after you'd made a list of everything that you wanted to do within this year. That's incredible.
And I did exactly that. And I treated it like a breakup. You know, I decided I needed a month for every year I was with Disney. And so I took 15 months off.
Wow. And in that time, did you focus primarily on your inner well-being? Or was that the time you also took to start building the business that we now know you as?
I didn't even have the dream of what this business was during that entire time. I took care of myself. I relaxed. My brother and his wife were digital nomads for 9 years. So they would just work from wherever there was Wi-Fi around the world. So I called them immediately after I got laid off. And I said, where are you? And they said, Tulum. And I said, I'm coming.
Oh my gosh.
So that was my first pit stop after Disney. But yeah, no, it just got better because even like while I was in Tulum, I found about this like free online summit. And it was all these amazing personal thought leaders and personal development and spiritual guides and gurus doing this free content for an entire week. So I would like lay out in the sun and I would go back to my room and have the doors open with the breeze coming in. And I would do a personal development workshop. And I'd be writing down dreams and goals and ideas and inspirations. And like my year was like that.
Wow, that's incredible. First of all, congratulations for you taking the time to actually do that, because I know I would even probably fall into the trap of doing this, especially coming from such a high-powered job where you were working probably, I can imagine, insane hours, 5 days a week. How did you break free from the pattern of doing and doing and doing and that adrenaline rush from doing into totally sitting in the present moment and just being with yourself?
It was really amazing to not have anyone counting on me for anything, honestly. There were some days when I would go into Disney and I would say in my head, I was like, can I just be like a data inputter today? Could I just like type something in the computer and people would think, great job? Because sometimes it would be a lot. I had a lot of pressure. I was a leader. I was responsible for getting a certain amount of exposure, awareness, audience interest and intent. I was responsible for a lot of stuff. And it was a relief. You know, I went in that morning that I got laid off and I was furiously typing emails from my phone. And I put it down for the meeting and I got up and was walking to my company car, by the way. So I had to get a new phone. I had to get a new car, get a new computer. It was all Disney's.
New identity, basically.
I did. And so I got a 2015 Ford Escape because I decided 2015 was my escape.
You're kidding me. No. You are hilarious.
I'm so into branding. It's ridiculous. So yes, no, I got an escape on purpose. But I remember walking out of there with like, I literally felt so light because I didn't have to answer a single other email.
Yeah.
I didn't have to make any phone calls. I didn't have to worry about the movie coming out the next week. I had done everything I was going to do and I went beyond what I wanted to do. I did everything I wanted to do at Disney. I really did. In 15 years and a lot of different kinds of movies, like I worked on some of my favorite movies while I was there. So that filled me up. I started this conversation with you. Remember, I have to be inspired by my work to do my best work. And I had stopped being inspired because of the environment I was in felt very toxic. Because of that, I was like, well, I don't feel bad leaving this dream job because I accomplished everything I wanted to do. So it was time to leave and come up with the next dream, but it did not come right away. And for anyone who's listening, like, it's okay if it takes time. And you can even start a practice business just to see if you like it. But like, you need to find the thing that inspires you. And this is literally my why of my business. My why is to help people do work that inspires them. Because I believe that people who are inspired do their best work. And that kind of work is going to change the world.
Oh, preach, 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 preach. I feel you so much. I have to ask, so you took that 15 months to yourself. Did you wait for the calling or this aligned feeling to know, okay, now I'm ready. I'm ready to start my own business. And what was that voice telling you if it was there?
Yeah, well, part of what was happening in like the latter half of the year I got laid off is I started going on interviews. I was getting calls from other broadcast networks, cable networks, movie studios. And so I went on some interviews and I knew how much work goes into those kinds of jobs. So for example, E! Entertainment called me a couple of times for a job and I'm like, I can't even imagine working this hard and the content that I'm working on being the Kardashians.
Oh gosh.
I was very spoiled with the high quality content that I got to work on with Marvel, with Pixar, with Disney. It was high quality stuff. And there wasn't a lot of other stuff that was going to like live up to that. So I felt like doing something in the same field or the same area almost felt like staying stuck at Disney. So I felt like, no, it needed to be something new. And so this is actually even more hilarious because it was an email, a marketing email from someone who actually got me up and out and on the journey to my next thing. And I don't even know how I got on Brendon Burchard's email list, but I did. Because I'd never heard of him.
Really?
Yeah, never heard of him. I think it probably came through being affiliated with like Oprah's emails because he had done something with Oprah or Brene Brown. I don't even know. Something in the personal development field. But I got on his email list. And the first email I get from him was about becoming one of his certified high performance coaches. And this is like the top level of what you do. Most people start by going to his like live event or his business event. No. I plunked down $10,000 to become a certified high performance coach and I flew up to Santa Clara and spent a week with him and 200 other people from around the world becoming a coach. And I was like so in love with it. It was about clarity. It was about energy. It was about influence. It was about all these things that together made you a high performer. And it spoke my language so much. I was like, I not only need this, I love the idea of coaching this. So I decided, okay, great. I'm going to be a high performance coach. And then all my friends were like, that's awesome, but why are you going to give up all the credibility and experience you have with marketing and branding? I said, okay, good point. Let me think about this for a minute. And at the same time, all these people who I was in this training with, new coaches starting new businesses, didn't know how to brand their businesses.
Wow. I did not know this story. This is amazing. So it wasn't like you set out on day one of your business and go, right, this is exactly what I'm going to do. I see it so clearly. It was actually messages that you were picking up along the way. And that's incredible.
I would tell you one of the biggest mistakes that people can make starting out is the mistake that I made because I was like, I didn't even know which one I should choose. Like I want to do all of them. So the first website I launched, I was like, hey, I can be a marketing consultant for you. I can help you with your branding. And I'm a high performance coach. Nobody knew what to come to me for. It was ridiculous. I was telling my website designer as I was designing it, I was like, you know, we're going to like change this in a month or two, right? And he's like, why are we doing this then? I was like, I don't know. I just got to get something out there. I just got to start. We're just going to start. But I was like, but no. And so it's funny. I didn't even call it branding at first until an ex-Disney colleague. I've gone to speak at colleges about synergy and marketing and branding at Disney because people really want to know about that. And I actually became a professor of entertainment marketing at the American Film Institute for 2 years after I left Disney. I did that on the side.
What?
Yeah, it's very fun. So I would go to Loyola Marymount. I'd done it a number of times when I was at Disney and post-Disney. And my friend Jay called me up. He's like, Hillary, I've got a new class. Will you come and present? And I said, yes. Okay, let me dust off my Disney stuff. He's like, no. Leave the Disney stuff at home. I want you to come here and talk to us about building a personal brand like you're doing right now. And it's awesome. And I hadn't even called it branding at that point. And I was like, oh, that's what I'm doing. So because I taught a class on it, I was like, oh, that's what I do. So I started then doing that.
Wow. So I love that you shared openly. This is one of the big mistakes that I made starting out. And I think so many entrepreneurs can resonate with that. They're like, they don't know how to niche down in the beginning or they want to do it all. And hey, we have all been there. But what are some of the other mistakes, if you don't mind sharing, that you feel you perhaps fell into the trap of doing in the beginning, and then share with us how you support others in making sure that doesn't happen?
Yeah, I mean, I think the number one thing that I did, but also I see so many other people do, and this is dovetailing right off there, is literally thinking everyone is going to be your customer. And some of this dovetails back into what you do, because I think the primary reason for that is because people are afraid of leaving money on the table.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're afraid they're not going to earn the amount of money that they possibly could by cutting off certain audiences. But I'll take it back to Disney for an example, because at Disney, when we were marketing a movie, we had thousands of employees worldwide. We had multi-million dollar ad budgets and marketing campaign budgets. And this is what went into serving everyone in our audience. In order to have a tentpole movie on box office at the box office on opening weekend, you have to go over after all these markets. And so you segment your message for each specific market. But when you have that much money and that much manpower, you can do that. And even at Disney, when our target was everyone, we still had a primary audience, a secondary audience, and sometimes a tertiary audience, because you have to know who it's perfect for first. So when you have your own business, you have to dive straight into who it's perfect for, because those are the resources that you have. And if you can dive into that, that is your way of being able to really specifically find the messaging that's going to speak right into your ideal client's biggest desires, ambitions, or solving their challenges.
Yes. And how would you help support somebody who maybe at the beginning of starting, we can talk a little bit later about somebody who maybe already has begun, but let's begin at the beginning. Somebody who doesn't yet quite know who that is or how to do that, what could they start doing today to understand how to speak to their audience?
That's such a great question. And I think there's a couple different things I would say. The first thing you have to do, the term ideal client has gotten so like mismanaged a lot of the times. It feels like a very elusive unicorn a lot of the time. And it shouldn't, right? Because the word ideal client literally means your favorite person to work with. And so you have to start with you, because this is the business you're building, the business you want to love doing. You don't want to build a business you don't love. So you have to first think about, okay, for the thing that you do or offer, who would you love to work with? And start there, because what I would do is if you say like female entrepreneurs, I dig them, I love them, I want to work with them, I want to be one of them. Great, female entrepreneurs. Then I would say, go out and find 5 to 10 female entrepreneurs you can interview. And then you find out, as it relates to what you do, how you can best help them. The number one thing you can do when you're starting out, and actually at any point in your business, is to listen to your audience, to find your audience and ask them what they need and deliver what they need. That's literally, it's that simple.
And how would you take that for one specific niche? I mean, say somebody is a coach, or let's just talk, I guess this is probably the most general you could say, a business coach for women who wants to work with female entrepreneurs. How do they niche down within that? Would you say actually figure out who gets you wanting to jump up out of bed every morning? Is it personality? Is it that specific area that female entrepreneur works in? Like, how far down should you niche?
It's up to the person, really. It really depends on if the messaging you can create is going to resonate with the people you want. That will tell you whether you need to niche down further or not. Because my advice would be you find the people who light you up. And oftentimes I call it the mirror test. Look at you. You're often a version of your ideal client. So what are the characteristics about you that you would want to attract, because you're going to work with those people best? There's that. And then there's also the idea of people get really stuck in the demographics of an ideal client, which means she's this age, she went to this school, she lives in this kind of city or town or suburb, right? Those are demographics. I am more interested in psychographics. And psychographics talks about the ambitions and beliefs that your ideal clients have. And so you might say, I'm here for female entrepreneurs who are a creative force in their industry.
Yeah, love that.
Right? And that's going to speak to a certain niche of female entrepreneur. Someone who doesn't identify with that is going to be like, oh, that's cool, but that's not for me. Or I see some people saying like, hey, I'm an intuitive business coach for soulful entrepreneurs. That is very obviously going to attract people who are very interested in aligning their business with their soul purpose.
Yes. And do you feel like the way that you attract that kind of person into your business is actually how you show up in your business and your brand?
Yes, and the messaging that you use that comes right out of your ideal client's mouth.
Yeah. So how does somebody go and find some of that messaging? Do you do research on Instagram? Do you literally ask your people? Do you research websites or articles? How can somebody go and really start polishing how they speak to their ideal client?
I love that you use the word polish, because like literally my brand used to be brand polish.
I know you, Hillary. I know you.
So good. Yeah, I would say the number one way I would do it is to find the ideal clients and actually get on a phone call or Zoom call with them and record it, so you have their actual words that you can transcribe. Obviously, get their permission to record it. But another way I love to do is to go onto Amazon, type in the keywords for what you do. So like for me, it's going to be brand strategy. For you, it would be money mindset. You type that into Amazon. Don't even sort by a category. Just type it into the main search bar and see what comes up. A lot of times for our kind of thing, it's going to be a lot of education, knowledge, expertise. It's going to be a lot of books. So then you go find the most popular book in your category and you start looking at the comments, because you're seeing what people care about, the aha's they had by reading the book, what they took away from that book. Right? I could go look at StoryBrand by Donald Miller, right? Because that's the one book, I promise you, so many clients of mine come in and say like, hey, I've gone through Don Miller's book, right? I've tried to craft my story. I'm like, great, let's see how far you've got, right? That's usually the one book that comes up if people ever talk about branding to me. And so if you go look at the comments, you can also find other people who are posting blog articles about your topic. So you can even just go to Google and do a Google search for your topic, money mindset, and see what comes up. What are the articles that are coming up? Go look at those articles and what are the comments? It's all about the people who are reading that stuff, the people who are buying the book, investing the money in buying a book, taking the time to read and write a comment. Those are the people who are actually really responsive to that topic and will be to your message if you get it right.
It's so true. Like beyond me literally directly asking the people within my audience what they want, I've done this and I continue to do this, and actually you've reminded me to go away and do it again, is looking at those reviews. Like what are people saying about the books that are really high up in my category? And what were the things that they took away that were massive aha moments from reading that book? And what were the things that were missing? What are they saying actually in some of the negative reviews about, I really wanted this and I didn't get it? Because then I get to see what their pain points are and how I can also fill the gap. And I just make a spreadsheet of them and like use the language that they are using in those.
Yeah, use the actual language. You know, the other place that you can go these days, because there's so many, are podcasts. Look at the reviews on podcasts in your topic category, right?
So true. So true. So I really wanted to ask you this, and I have no idea, honestly, what the answer to this is, because I know that there are some people who have brands where they are the face of them. I guess you would say that about mine with Girl Unfiltered. I'm pretty much the face of my brand. But then there are other people who maybe have more product-based brands. How important do you think it is today in today's society to have a face with a brand or a story or a message behind the brand?
I think it's vital. I literally do. Because here's the thing. It's almost like the business owners, and especially the female ones, they've become the new heroes of our time. They're the new role models that people look up to. You know who's behind Spanx. You know who's behind Drybar. And you want to know more. You want to know their story, how they did it, how they went from A to B to C to D. Like, you want to know that. And knowing the story and putting a face makes it feel more relatable. It makes it feel more humanized. And when you can connect to your audience on that level, that's going to deepen their relationship with your brand. And that's going to help accelerate your brand.
I could not agree more, because those are the brands that I support for that very reason. I want to buy from them because of that. So if anyone is listening and they're hiding behind their products, you know what Hillary and I are telling you to do? Show up.
I mean, honestly, it's kind of like what I just mentioned at the beginning with me leaving Disney and someone saying to me, it was because of my personal brand. Like, Hillary, we did this because it was for you. It's like when you find the people that you believe in and that you trust and that you admire, you want to support the things that they do.
Absolutely. So what about the brand who is already established? So for anyone listening who already feels like, you know, I get who I'm talking to, I get why I'm doing what I'm doing. How can somebody consistently up-level their brand? Is there any secret to that?
I don't know that there's a specific secret, but I would say my best advice is to keep in constant contact with your ideal clients. You need to grow with your audience and continue to evolve your offers and your messaging based on the needs of the customers. So if you follow your customers, what I call their ambition line, you're going to grow as they grow. And sometimes along the way, you're going to discover like a new market or a new opportunity tied to what you're doing. And that's where a pivot in your business comes in. It's like what a lot of businesses are doing right now, right? During this challenging time, as you grow, you need to identify how to stay relevant in the market, how to continue to fulfill your customers' needs. And pivoting could look like new offers. It may even look like a new ideal client you're ready to serve. It comes back down to who it's for, because they're going to tell you when they're ready to grow. It's going to be that next step. You always have to have that next step for people, right? If you're selling out a program, say if you're a coach, if you're selling out one program and then people are wondering what they do next, well, you have an opportunity to serve them at the next level.
Yeah, absolutely. I have pivoted so many times in my business because nobody minds. Like, I used to be so scared of like, hang on, I really want to niche down into this specific type of coaching. And I remember like laying awake at night being like, oh my God, my audience is going to judge me. They're going to be so confused by me now talking about this. And it was all in my head. It was all so much in my head because they just want what I'm giving and they feel when it's coming from your heart. And like, you're going to pivot multiple times in your business. You have to, I think, to stay relevant.
Your brand is a living and breathing thing and it needs to evolve along with you and your audience. And like, you don't define it once and put it on the shelf next to your LLC binder, right? You don't just like stick it up on the shelf and leave it. You have to continue to tweak it, to evolve it, to refresh it, and to expand it. And if you don't know how to do that, that's where someone like me, a branding expert or strategist, comes into play, because sometimes you need an outside expert eye on what you're up to. And so that's usually why people are coming to me, whether it's their beginning, they're pivoting, or they're growing. At every level, people are looking at their brand strategy. It is the foundation. It becomes the North Star and the roadmap for how to get to where you want to go.
Absolutely. And we're living in a time of, you know, I don't think any of us expected this from 2020. And there are a lot of business owners out there listening to this who I'm sure are having to pivot or have pivoted or are wondering what their next pivot should be. What are some of the amazing brands that you work with who you think have just been incredible at pivoting their business during this time?
So it's funny. So my brand, I'm working with people to set their brand foundation right now. And so that's like building it from scratch. So a lot of people that I'm working with are in their current business or starting one. The beginning of it is a pivot. So it's not like from this to this. It's like, here is the pivot. So I more so have pivoting examples of people that I'm following, which I think are amazing. I just included three different people on an Instagram Live series I did because I wanted to highlight the pivots that they did. and actually she was a branding client of mine, Flybrow. Susie Moldovan, who is the owner and founder of Flybrow, is a mobile brow service where she goes into companies like Google and does like all the brows in one fell swoop. And she comes to you. She makes it convenient. So obviously, nobody's at work. Nobody's gathering. You're not touching people's faces right now, right? So what do you do in that kind of business to keep afloat? And she decided, she figured out how to do a virtual brow session where you send in all these photos. She tells you exactly what to send in, pictures of your brows and your brow goals. Like, it's amazing how much like I've learned about brows, like your brow goals, right? Like, were they too skinny and you're growing them out? Like, whatever it is, you're sending this all into her and she's literally shaping them in several different photo examples to show you exactly where to pluck, how to shape, what to do. And I'm like, I'm amazed. And she's getting booked out.
Wow. I just know I have so many audience members in the UK who are going, oh my God, you two are so LA right now.
It's a company. It's a business for sure.
It is. No, I love it. And I've been in LA for like 6 years now and I am used to it, but I just know I have amazing.
I mean, if you want to compare psychics and astrologers, we can go there next, girl.
Yes. No, I love it. Like in LA, you got to have your brows on point. I think that's an amazing pivot. Like seriously, because that's somebody who is a service-based industry and not just service-based, but has to be in person. Same with like my facialist. My facialist is giving online facials. Can you believe it? Online facials.
It's amazing. I mean, for the people, for the audience who really cares about that and wants to keep themselves up, so to speak, they want to know how to do this and they're willing to pay for that service, no matter if they can come in person or not. The other person I featured who you've met before, Bernadette Marciniak, she's a photographer and obviously doing brand photography and all kinds of other photography is in person. And she pivoted and I just find this so beautiful because she actually dove into something that lights her heart on fire that she's always wanted to do, but kind of didn't ever admit. And she started Kids with Cameras, and it's an online education program for all the kids at home right now.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
Learning how to use their cameras and take beautiful photographs. And like, she's giving them assignments and she's getting these photos back from these kids, and they're documenting the time that they're having right now too, which is even more beautiful. It's a pivot in her business that she's never gonna, you know, walk away from. This will be something that she does.
This is such a beautiful time, I think, for all of us to listen to our hearts. Like, what has been on your heart that you've really wanted to create? Like, now is the time. Now, if you're being called to do something, go listen to that intuition and make it happen, because that's called alignment. And when you are aligned, magical things happen. So I just love seeing women do that in their brands and their businesses.
I love that too. And you know, one way, if you already have a business and you're thinking of like, okay, what's one way to pivot? You know, getting really clear on your core values, like the ones that you've had. Like, there's an example I 100% love. Hedley and Bennett is an apron product-based business that services restaurants and Food Network and all these high-end chefs. They make aprons. But during this, they realized, hello, we have a 16,000-foot factory where we make things with cloth and fabric. We should be making masks. And so they pivoted. They still make aprons. They now make hundreds and thousands of masks. And their core values for the restaurant business was always wake up and fight, the hustle is real, and get shit done. And so they created the wake up and fight mask, and it's completely on brand. It's just diving into one area that they didn't think would ever become their primary thing. But it's a way to say like, this is still on message. This is still on brand. This is who we are. And they've pivoted. And you know, not only are they helping, they're still making money during this time because this is what people need.
Wow, I love that. So if anyone doesn't have their core values mapped out yet, definitely go make that happen. Should they just write them down? Is it just asking what inspires or motivates you the most in your brand? Like, how should somebody go about really defining that for themselves?
I would say one way to really get clear is, and you don't have to make this part of the sentence in its final state, but if you start with I or we believe in ... it's like, what do you believe in? Those are the things that really matter to your business. It tells you how to show up every day. It tells you how you operate in the world. It tells you what's possible for your audience. Those are the core values.
I love it. Everyone go journal on that. I'm going to journal on that this evening, actually. Okay, this is a money mindset podcast. We always have to circle back a little bit to money mindset. I just have to ask, when you took the leap from having a full-time career and a very, very successful one at that, you were working behind another brand, and that brand was Disney. Like, Disney was the face of the brand. So what was it like, and did anything come up in your money mindset suddenly with you being the face of your own brand and business?
So I've always been a person who does not mind being in front. I like to lead from the front, and I had to learn to lead from behind as well. So you can do it both ways. But I didn't have a problem with that. I think when I started, the mindset piece of it came in for me is I was still getting really distracted by the job board. I was like, what jobs are coming up with the paychecks I know that I want that maybe I can't ignore? Like, what if there's something better while I'm over here trying to build a business? And it wasn't allowing me to actually go all in my business. And so I wasn't getting any traction in my business, and I wasn't making the money I needed to make in my business. So it wasn't until I like literally shut off every single job alert and job board that I was part of and went all in on my business and decided the price I was charging that it actually started booming for me.
And were there any money mindset blocks that you found came up for you along the way as you were really building the successful business that you do now have?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's money mindset things at every level. And I think the biggest one that I discovered was in my most successful year of my business thus far, because the year before was much smaller, I hadn't yet started paying quarterly taxes. And that bit me in the butt. Because obviously I owed a lot of money if I hadn't paid taxes all year and I had my best year. The idea that I had my best year, but I felt almost like, even though it's not true, it's just part of work and I should have been setting it aside, I felt like I was being punished for my best year of earning that much money.
That was the belief that was there, right?
Yeah. And I didn't even realize that was a thing until I stopped making as much money per month. And then it regularly started going a little bit down. And even though I would attract still ideal clients and they're still coming in, it wasn't on track to be better than that year before, which is always where you want to go. It's like, oh, once you reach this level, then you want to go to the next level. And that was not what was happening. And I think the block for me was I was afraid to make more money. And it wasn't conscious, afraid to make more money because then I would owe more money. And am I ready for that?
Wow, that is so powerful. Like, you guys, this is how powerful our beliefs, especially our subconscious beliefs, are. Like, there you are. It makes total sense from a money mindset perspective. You had your best year yet, but there was a downside. And that I always talk about the downsides to wealth and how that can affect our subconscious belief. And that was, hey, I hadn't managed my money the way that I should have that year, so I lost out, or whatever the belief specific to you was. And then here you are, like a few months later, blocking yourself from receiving all the abundance that is divinely yours. Just incredible. So what did you do and how did you shift out of that? And what happened for you as soon as you did?
Well, I think just identifying and becoming aware of that as a thing helps you, right? But then you have to clear that energy and then get really focused on, okay, what is happening? What are the positives? And where do you want to go? And it's becoming really intentional with, okay, everyone's been paying this price. It might be time to up-level the price again. And it's just getting comfortable with every new level of pricing that you set. And I find this with all of the people I work with in branding too, is mindset really does come in as people are setting their prices and starting to get comfortable with what it is that they actually have to say out loud to somebody when they ask how much. And it's a big deal because selling is part of business, and you can make selling feel like an experience and not like a sales phone call. Like, there's so many ways to do it, and it's important for you to figure out the way that feels best to you, but you still need to sell because that's how you actually earn money and that's how you actually have a business.
What is your process, just out of interest, when you come to the sale?
You know, at a certain point, I think when I started and up until recently, I liked having my prices on my website for people to see. Because at the beginning, I was getting a lot of people reaching out who would never even think about affording me. And it was sucking my time and energy, you know, away from the people who really were going to be my ideal clients that I could be working with. And so I decided to put the prices on the website, and I actually loved it because then you would only attract the people who are ready to pay that price and or who are going to reach out and let you know that they're saving, because I have a lot of people who are saving to work with me. And then now I've taken it off my website because I have so many different balls in the air behind the scenes that my price is changing depending on the kind of offer I can put out there at the moment, right? And it all has to do with lifestyle stuff, is like what's happening in my life, what's coming, what I have time for right now, how I can serve my audience best. It changes all the time. And as I'm evolving my brand, the price evolves with that.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I do the same. I don't have my prices on my website. But just really the reason behind that for me is because I want to actually, and this comes back to actually the why and the branding that you were talking about. I want to actually get on a call with somebody and I want to support them and I want to really feel their energy on that call and find out first how I can best serve them. And that means having a conversation. That means talking through what they specifically need, because it might be different person to person. So I just love having that hands-on approach to it.
I agree. And the way I work with meeting new potential clients is I literally get on the phone and it's like we're having a branding session. I'm learning about their brand. We're talking about ideas. I'm understanding their vision. Like one of my specialties is being able to quickly understand somebody's vision and where they're headed and translate that into how we make that into messaging and your reality in your business. And that is what people are looking for when they come to me. They're looking for the clarity. They're looking for how to tell their story, how to say what they want to say clearly so it attracts their ideal clients. And yeah, it really just becomes, it's a conversation. Like if I actually went into a call like that thinking, this is a sales call and I must do X, Y, and Z, I would never book a client, I promise.
I promise too, because I used to do it and I didn't book anything.
And I know that there's, you know, everyone does it a different way. And everyone's like, you have to book the person on the phone call. I rarely book a person on my phone call. They want to go away and think about it. And they want to look at all of the elements and they want to look at their business and see what they have time for. And they usually come back to me like 2-3 days later and they're like, great, I'm in, let's go. So it just depends on how you like to do it for your business and what you find works for you. Because if you find something that works for you specifically, keep doing that.
And what your beliefs are behind it. Because if you think, oh crap, this person's going to get off of the call and I know this means they're not going to sign up with me, which is what one of my beliefs used to be a few years ago. Well, obviously that's what I was creating. And now I'm like, honestly, if that's what feels aligned with you, great. Okay, let's chat in a couple of days and see what happens. And I'm like, it's all in flow. It's all groovy, baby. It's fine. Like I feel so safe and secure and aligned. Like whatever they decide, it doesn't have an effect on me because I feel like I'm in my worth. And it always ends up just working out in the most beautiful way. So it really just comes down to those beliefs.
No, it's so funny. It's what I say to clients all the time. It's like there is mindset work throughout the entire brand building process. It's crazy. And it like literally starts with the idea that it's 10 times harder for you to figure out your own brand because it's so connected to yourself. So it's hard to pull back and get a clear view of it. So that's number one. But number two, like I could give you all of the brand strategy tools and tips and even money mindset stuff, right? Like, but unless you believe in your brand, believe in yourself, believe that what you do will create the difference in a person's life that you're setting out to create, like none of the tools and strategies will help you. None of them.
Oh, yes.
You have to believe in your brand.
It is so true, Hillary. Girl, we've been talking for almost an hour. I could talk to you for ages. It feels like it's been 10 minutes, but I think we're going to have to wrap it up and people are going to have to go find you and connect with you. But before I share or you share where they can find you, what is one thing that you would just love to sprinkle on the women who are listening? Is there one thing you'd love them to know, whether it's about business or mindset or branding?
I mean, I think it comes back to my why and where I started with, you know, creating my dream job at Disney and then creating my dream business here is that find the work that inspires you. Get excited about what you're doing. If you're excited, follow that excitement because that will never steer you wrong. That is the nudge from the universe telling you, yes, that's the direction. And so if you follow your excitement, if you're inspired by your work, you're going to light up so many people's lives, no matter if you're making candles or if you're doing a business coaching program. Like find the work that inspires you and follow that intuition and dive deep into it. That's how you expand your brand and how your brand will grow.
I love it. I love you. This is awesome.
I love you too.
So where can everyone go and find you and learn more?
Yeah, you can go to my website. It's just hillaryhartling.com. I'm a 1L Hillary, H-I-L-A-R-Y, and it's H-A-R-T-L-I-N-G. you can find me on Instagram and Facebook and LinkedIn under my name. And then if you want a little free guide to help you craft a clear statement for your brand, which is a great place to start, go to hilaryhartling.com/brand superpower, because it's a guide for your brand superpower in one clear statement.
Amazing. And I'll make sure that all of the links to that are in the show notes below. Thank you so much for joining us, Hillary.
You're so welcome.
If you loved today's episode, please be sure to leave a review on iTunes and hit the subscribe button, because women supporting women is my jam. And if you want extra daily doses of motivation, then be sure to follow me on Instagram @girl_unfiltered. And go ahead and screenshot this episode, send me a DM and share your biggest takeaway, because I love hearing from you and I just really want to drop into your DMs, basically. So I'm sending you so much love and abundance, and have an amazing day.